Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, from overpaying your mortgage, maybe you're thinking about switching. If you're a first-time buyer, this week's Ask the Expert is Trevor Grant, who's the chairperson of the Association of Irish Mortgage Advisors. Trevor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea.
Now, whatever your queries, send them in to us. Or if you want to chat to Trevor yourself on air, give us a shout. 1800 453 106. That is the number. For first-time buyers out there, they're at the, you know, the deposit is now saved or semi-saved. They're thinking of mortgage applications. Your kind of top, I suppose, three tips, Trevor, for people where to start.
I suppose, to be honest, and people probably think I would say this, but my top tip is to contact a mortgage broker. And the reason I'd suggest they do that is that not every applicant is the same and not every mortgage lender is the same. So a quick chat with a mortgage broker who'll go through your income documents and your bank statements will put you on the right path in terms of maybe some corrections you need to make for certain lenders or to qualify for the best rates, and also to advise you what level of savings, etc., you need to have when you make your purchase.
How are rates at the minute?
So rates are in a good place. They were very, very low for 11 years when ECB was at zero.
They jumped though.
And then they jumped quite significantly. So ECB increased by 4.5%. Thankfully, the home loan providers here didn't increase by as much. They increased by a little over 2% on average. But we've seen a little movement, particularly around the infamous green rates, which is a BER rating on properties of A1 to B3 in the last few weeks. And as recently as Friday, Avant Money, who don't differentiate between green and non-green properties, reduced their rates. So rates are in a good space, and historically they're in a reasonably good space.
What are the Avant rates down to now?
So the Avant rates now have dropped to as low as 3.6%.
Right, okay. So are you still, like, are you advising people to fix at this stage, or are you better off to go on a flexible at the moment?
It's an interesting question.
Or very, you know.
So I go back to the point I made earlier that the banks didn't increase their rates by as much as ECB. So therefore, the banks are likely to tell us that they're not ready to reduce their rates when ECB start to reduce. So also, when you look at the long-term yields in terms of the European banks and generally in terms of Euribor, which is the rate by which many lenders borrow money, they're fairly flat looking forward. So anyone assuming home loan rates will fall will be making a mistake. They may fall, but maybe by not as much as many people think. If you're on a variable rate or a tracker rate, they'll absolutely fall. They'll probably fall quite substantially for tracker customers over the next 18 months, probably up to 2%. But I wouldn't be taking a mortgage out on a variable rate simply because I was expecting them to fall significantly, because I don't think they will fall significantly.
So fix.
Look at your options. See what you're comfortable with. Maybe you have an overpayment facility, which you can have at certain lenders. But make an educated decision. Just don't back the horse because you think it's a sure thing.
Yeah.
Pick the mortgage that's right for you.
087 1400 106. Loads of questions coming in, so we'll fly through some of them, Trevor. Can you apply as a single applicant even if you are married? Also, is it possible to apply for a mortgage for a self-build again as a single applicant if the planning permission is in your spouse's name?
Okay, so they're quite technical. So I think the easiest way to give you the answer is, if you are on the title of the property, you must be on the mortgage. So in other words, if money has been borrowed on a property, the person whose name is on the title to the property must be on the mortgage. It is possible in buying a new property with a married couple for the applicant and the person whose name is on the title to be in single names, but that's got legal complexity to it. So yes, in theory, if I'm married, I can buy a house in my own name, but essentially my husband or wife needs to sign away their rights to the property. Not advisable. If you own, you want to build a property, your name must be on the title and on the planning.
So as the single person, as a single applicant, I should say, in the marriage, you can buy the house. If you're drawing down the mortgage, it's your name and the deeds of the house.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your husband, wife is signing away essentially their rights in the property. And that can lead to longer term conflicts down the road.
Because obviously you're married. It's a difficult conversation,
right?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. So it's not advisable. It would be done in very exceptional and unique circumstances.
Okay. And on the self-build, on applying for a mortgage for a self-build, again, as a single applicant, if the planning permission is in the spouse's name.
No, the planning permission needs to be in joint names. Yeah.
If I'm on maternity leave and I'm still getting paid, but it's reduced, will this affect my mortgage application?
No. So the way it works with lenders is two ways. If you're on maternity leave and your pay is reduced, the lender can work off the reduced pay, or they can work off your full pay, provided they have a letter from your employer confirming the date you're going to return to work and what your terms and conditions will be at that time.
So if you were thinking perhaps when your maternity leave is up that you might take, you know, an additional 2 months unpaid or something like that, that could become an issue in this instance.
It could do, but lenders have become very reasonable in this regard. So as long as they have a letter from the employer confirming the return date and that the terms and conditions either will remain unchanged from when you went on maternity leave or are revised, generally an application will be approved.
Okay, 1800 453 106, if you have a question for Trevor Grant today. How do I go about overpaying my mortgage and is it worthwhile? I got a bonus this year and I'm wondering how best to use it.
So in principle, overpaying your mortgage is a really good idea because it reduces the interest you're paying and brings your balance down quicker. And the goal for most people is to clear their mortgage as quickly as possible. Different lenders have different rules around overpayments, some facilitated in the contract of agreement. Other lenders only allow it when you're on a variable rate and not when you're on a fixed rate. So it's very important if you're thinking of overpaying that you contact your lender and ask them to confirm, can you overpay as you wish, which you can on a variable rate? And if you're on a fixed rate, is there an agreement as part of the loan offer to allow you to overpay? Or indeed, can you overpay regardless because you're on a fixed rate? Ultimately, lenders can only charge you for overpaying or breaking a fixed rate if they're incurring a loss in you doing so.
Okay. Interesting question here, and maybe it's something you touched on earlier as well, Trevor, just for a moment, I saw it there. What are they looking for when they're going through your accounts? Is it true that you can't have a betting account?
No, that's a bit of a myth. So if we go back to the times of the crash when lenders really weren't lending, if you were showing any sign of consistent betting or gambling, an application was generally declined. But it's accepted now that, you know, betting is to a large extent a way of life and everyone likes a little flutter. So as long as your betting is not very significant and it's infrequent, there's nothing wrong with having a betting account, so long as it's manageable and reasonable.
Do you need a mortgage broker? Can you do it on your own? I don't want to spend more money than I need to. You might want to clarify that.
So key here is that your own bank may have the best deal for you. The bank you've been with since college or when you left school may absolutely have the best deal for you. However, unlike a mortgage broker, they're not obliged to tell you that better terms exist elsewhere. So unless you have the wherewithal and the technical understanding
and the time
of going and time, most importantly, Andrea, of going around 9 lenders to understand what they offer and compare them, you're absolutely better off getting market advice from a broker. And you may end up going back to your original lender if they are the best for you.
You don't pay the broker, though, as in the applicant.
No, again, there's a myth that suggests that because lenders pay brokers commission, that brokers don't charge fees. So Ireland's very unique and it's a really good setup for consumers. All lenders pay commission to mortgage brokers.
Yeah.
All lenders pay the same level of commission, so it removes any question of bias. And the commission doesn't impact on the rate the consumer gets. So the lender is paying the broker ultimately for distribution. Mm. Some brokers do charge fees. Increasingly in a market where you can do a lot of work to get people approved and through no fault of their own or yours, they simply don't find a property because we have a housing shortage. So some brokers do charge fees. Brokers are required to be very transparent. Before you engage with them and start submitting documents to them, they're obliged to send you their terms of business and that will call out the fees. Most brokers don't charge excessive fees and the vast majority would only charge them on receipt of an approval. So if you like, they've done their work, their hard work, and then it's up to you to find the property.
Is that new that most brokers are charging fees?
It's become an increasing feature of the market
over
the last 5 to 6 years.
Right,
now,
yeah.
By fees, you're talking a few hundred euros, not thousands of euros. And if you think of it, if you wanted to get really good professional advice from somebody, you'd expect to pay a fee. But not all brokers charge them. Some do. Mm. They need to be
look
transparent.
Around.
And many return them, by the way. And just because a broker charges a fee doesn't mean they're a bad broker. It just means they value their time and they may ultimately give you the best advice.
Yeah. Do you get penalised for switching? Asks this texter.
The only way you can be penalised for switching is if you're breaking a fixed rate agreement. And by breaking the fixed rate agreement, the lender is incurring a cost. So if you're thinking of switching provider, you may have no penalty. If you're on a variable rate, you certainly won't. There is a chance if you're on a fixed rate that you would, and you need to clarify that with the lender. But the vast majority of people who have switched over the last 2 to 3 years didn't incur any penalty because the lender wasn't incurring a cost.
I know a few people I know who've switched in recent months just inquired off their bank. And actually, just nearly on the given day, they rang and were told, no, there's no... Yeah. No charge or no break penalty.
So that's
fee,
because
you know?
Of the cost of funds.
Okay.
So currently lenders aren't incurring cost. So therefore, by breaking the fixed rate, generally There is no fee, but you need to check out first.
Okay. 1800 453 106. Keep those questions coming into us. We are looking into equity release. So do we need to go to our current mortgage bank, or can we go elsewhere just for the release part of the mortgage? What does that mean, first of all?
So what that means is that you have built up equity or value in your property and you want to release that equity for some reason.
As in it's now worth more than it was when you bought it?
Exactly. It's worth more than when you bought it and you've maybe paid down a significant amount of your balance. So you might have bought a house for €500,000, for example, and borrowed €400,000. You now owe €300,000 and the house is worth €600,000. So technically the difference is €300,000, which is the equity. So lenders, depending on what you want to release the money for, will allow you release equity on that property. Typically for home improvements, that tends to be the biggest reason a lender would facilitate.
Okay, so they will.
Absolutely.
Just get on to them.
Yeah, get on to them. The thing to get from them is what rate they're going to charge, because it'll be a different rate than your existing rate. And also, are you going to have any costs? Because to release equity on a property in Ireland, you need to engage a solicitor. So you're back to having used to pay a solicitor to release the equity.
Right.
So that's why it may be worth shopping around at that point to see will someone look after you.
Just to their question, they're wondering, do they need to do it with their current mortgage bank, or can they go elsewhere for the release part?
So like any mortgage, you should shop around. If you're going to release equity on your existing mortgage, you need to switch the existing mortgage and the new mortgage, the equity release, to the new lender. You can't have two mortgages with two different lenders.
We have to sell our apartment in order to buy a house. We're looking for advice as to the steps we can take to minimise the time we'll be living in rented accommodation before we manage to buy and move into a new house.
So this is a great question, and it's a problem that a large number of people face because of the shortage in property. So the first thing to do is to get your mortgage approval arranged. So understand how much I can borrow to buy the new property. The second thing to do is get in realistically three estate agents. Ask them to give you a quote on A, how much they'll charge you to sell your house, B, how much they think they'll get for your house, and C, probably most importantly, how long it will take to sell your property. Then engage your solicitor and explain your situation. So if you're in the current market, houses are selling very quickly. So the agent should confirm that they have buyers lined up and that they will move your house along quickly and you have your mortgage approval. So it is possible to work in such a way that effectively it operates as a chain and you can do the two within a day or two of each other on the same day. Very important your solicitor is on board though. Really important that they do that. And also important to recognise that you're going to need a deposit when you sign your contracts to buy. So when you go sale agreed, you pay a booking deposit, which is fully refundable. But within a period of 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to have to sign contracts and commit to the house. So you need to make sure you have the 10% outside of any proceeds from the sale of your own home to pay the deposit.
1800 453 106. Keep them coming in. We'll fly through the last few. We've got one more year left on a fixed rate. Can we move to variable, or do you think it's wise?
It depends on what your fixed rate is. If your fixed rate's lower than the current rates, there's no reason to move.
Okay.
So I would be surprised if the fixed rate wasn't lower than the current variable rates, unless the mortgage was taken out some time ago. So my advice, without knowing the specifics, would be to stay put unless your fixed rate is higher than the variable rate and there's no penalty to break that fixed rate.
We're starting the progress or the process of looking for a mortgage. I'm self-employed. What do I need to do? My wife is also a contractor.
Okay, so for the self-employed, lenders look for generally 2 years financial accounts and they look for your tax returns for the last 2 years. Some may ask for three. The contractor, same situation, just details in relation to the contract that they're on and how they're working. And there would be historical evidence required for the last 3 years of what their earnings were. Other than that, it's not much different. There's a myth that being self-employed is complicated when getting a mortgage. It's not if you're dealing with an advisor in a branch or a broker who's very familiar with dealing with the self-employed. And if you're familiar dealing with the self-employed, the process is reasonably straightforward.
Okay, interesting question here. My sister and I bought a house between us. I've now met a partner and hope to move out. So how do I get a mortgage?
So it depends whether your sister is willing to buy you out of the house or whether your sister and yourself are going to retain the property. So that's the first thing to understand. So is this person going to be bought out of the property by their sister? Is it going to be their family home? Or are they going to retain the property? It's possible for that person to get a mortgage. If they're passing on their interest or selling their interest to their sister, it doesn't matter. It's like any sale and purchase. Mm. If they're retaining the property with her sister, then that person is going to be liable for the debt on that property. So the lender would need to assess what rental income is going to come or what income is coming from her sister in relation to the new property, because it's like having a buy-to-let, if that makes sense. Mm. It's a second property, so you're still liable for the debt. So that's a very specific individual case that would need to be worked through in detail. But it would be it is possible to hold on to the property, but the cleaner thing to do is be sell it,
get the sister to buy you out,
and move on. Yeah.
Trevor, thanks a million for joining
thanks
us
much,
on the programme today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.